Well, when do you have an LSB meeting? I mean, does that matter? I mean, you can't take this to the LSB. I mean... Well...
I want to mention one of the things. I sent people a link to a webinar from the Center for Nonprofit Management talking about the importance of your budget in terms of fundraising, because if you are trying to get some grants, they look at your budget, and there's a budget narrative they'd like to see. So I think that's something in the future that we should think about. This, Alan's not on anymore, but he kept saying a budget is not important, but a budget is actually very important, not only for your own planning, but for the prospect of being able to convince funders and grant writers that you have, you know, a need that they're, you know,
yeah, of course,
they can validate and fill. So
right.
People can be aware of that.
Right. I will tell again my story from 2011 or 2012 or whenever I was treasurer, and we had a very good budget and we had very good monthly financials. And at some point around February, March, I told the GM at the time, if you don't do something different in the second half of the year, you're going to run out of cash in July. And, of course, he ran out of cash in July. So, yes, having a good budget and having good monthly financials that you actually review is the way to, you know, fiscal management.
Yeah, Michael, just back again, the budget motion from the LSB, which I think was also in the original Finance Committee motion, was that every 2 months there'd be a review to see how close the actual income is to the projected income, and if there's a shortfall, there has to be a change in the expenses to not, you know, break the bank.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I wouldn't even do that 2 months. I would do it, I mean, the minute you get a P&L. You know, I'm going to look at it. I don't know if anybody else would, but I'll certainly be looking at it every time we get a P&L. So, I mean, that's, you know, we're too close to the edge not to do that. But that doesn't help us now. Well, go ahead, Ken.
Grace, want to say something? Because she hasn't spoken yet.
Well, she's the one that's, you know, we're going to have to sell our building, you know, flag. So, you know,
okay,
let's hear
well,
from Grace.
Okay, but let me just say one thing.
Yes.
Well, wait.
They're looking at the budget.
Wait a second here. I don't mind being quoted,
Grace.
But I don't want to be misquoted. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So may I speak?
Yes, please.
Okay. I never suggested that we sell our building. That is a suggestion that's been floated by two people. One, Annual Fields, suggested it as an option in one of his reports.
Grace, let me just interrupt you because that's not what I said. I said
okay,
you're the one
you
that's
say?
Saying, you're the one that's repeatedly saying if we don't make cuts, we're going to have to sell our building, and we don't want to do that. But you're the one that's raising this big, you know, scary story. So here we are. We're in a quagmire, and you're, you know, this motion, you know, you passed this motion months ago. And so I'm, you know, I would think you'd want to have something to say about where we're at with this current budget.
Well, the budget is completely inadequate. However, the National Board mandated a 30% reduction in expenses because there is no credible proposed improvement in revenue. In fact, we can predict that revenue will be declining, as it has been for the last few months. So the cuts, most of the cuts need to be made in unfortunately, in payroll, because that's the place where there's the most ability to cut. Most of the expenses, non-payroll expenses, are fixed. There is some room for some decreases, but the burden is going to be mainly, or the cuts are mainly going to be have to occur in payroll.
Okay, well, that doesn't help us now, but I just want to point out something that year to date 2019, adding up what's in there for listener support and website income, okay, is 2.415. 2020, year to date, adding up the listener support and the website income that is in there is 2.40. It's a difference of about $15,000. No, $30,000. So this great decline in our listener support, I'm not seeing. It certainly hasn't gotten better, and there are more fun drive days this year, but this big decline that, you know, has been waved around is not, you know, substantiated by the actual numbers.
Kim, I need line numbers to follow.
Let me ask a question about that then. Okay. First of all, we are not seeing the bequest income that we saw last year.
Of course not.
Okay.
So I mean, that's over half a million dollars, Grace. Of course.
Okay.
Of course not. But don't conflate that with
okay,
listener
I'm
support.
Not. I'm not finished, Kim. I'm not finished. Can I just make my point?
Go ahead.
Okay. As has been noted, there has been a decrease in the daily fund drive totals. That's evident.
Not really.
Okay. So the first 6 months of the fiscal year 2019, the average daily fund drive total is the same as fiscal year 20, and the fund number of fund drive days were the same?
No, I have said repeatedly that the fund drive days increased this year. What happened is the expenses were not cut last year when you got over $500,000. That's why we're in this jam now, because the expenses kept ballooning when you were getting free money.
Okay, I don't understand the last sentence. Repeat it again.
The expenses ballooned while you were getting unanticipated bequest money. Now, it is true that it wasn't properly accounted for, and even though I said this for over a year, it still is not properly accounted for, but in fact, the total is $550,000 in bequests from last year. Anyways, interrupted Ken, so go ahead, Ken. Ken?
Kim, meanwhile, while we wait for Ken, when you talk about these numbers, could you please give the line numbers and column numbers in the spreadsheet so we can follow along? It's extremely hard to do all this
I
into my mind without
math.
Having...
I did this math before the meeting. Listener support is on line one. It's the first line. The website income is on line two. I sent the P&Ls to everybody. Just take a look at the P&L. I added them up before the meeting, okay, to look at them myself.
So just when you start on a thing, name the document so I can switch to it. I have them all on my computer.
Okay.
I was looking at the budget, but you just assume we know which document you're talking about, and it's very hard to follow. The way to do it is to say, go to this document, then line this and column that, and that's the way we can follow.
Okie doke. Well, I refer to the P&Ls, the listener support and the website income, which are the first two lines on the P&Ls, okay? And the, you know, the year-to-date totals are there. The totals in the 2019 are year-to-date.
I see them now, and it would have been really helpful to have had that information before you started to talk.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Ken, I see you on there.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, I wasn't speaking. Grace was speaking.
No, but you were on the stack before that.
Yeah, well, looking at the budget, there's obviously, like, it's 800,000 south, but 500,000 of that is central services. And that's an internal administrative fee, which is, you know, it's not, we're not going to go to jail or be dunned. I know we should pay it, and I know I'm well aware of all the services provided by the national office, theoretically. I mean, that's really, when it comes down to it, we're going to need forbearance on that. You know, pay what we can, if we can. And it brings it down to $300,000. I think the only realistic thing to do is make modifications, present it at the next LSB meeting or whatever, and get in a budget that's approved by the LSB. It may not be a net gain or positive or zero. It may be negative, but we've got to cut it down. We don't want to be $800,000 on the budget. So, but looking at the facts, $500,000 to the national office and central services is questionable. It's not realistic unless we cut the staff, like I was saying, sit down to bare bones and maybe cut the paid programmers down too. It's mostly staff, and it isn't just salaries. It's benefits when that adds up too, which is listed. So, and child care, health care, all of these different things. And in regards what the general the business manager said about, oh my God, if we fire people or lay them off or furlough them or whatever we do, we may wind up paying settlement fees. Okay, even if we have to borrow the money from a loan shark, it's going to be less expensive keeping them on the payroll within a year. 1 year's cost of maintaining an employee is probably three times more than any kind of severance pay they're going to get. So whatever you have to do to pony up the severance, that's fine. And also, I think most cordially, you could have those people who are furloughed or laid off and who are getting a severance to agree to take it on a payment plan rather than a lump sum. So severance is an unfortunate thing, and we're in unfortunate times, but it is what it is. So we've got to do what we've got to do. And I think whatever we come up, but I mean, I don't know, maybe Kim, somebody's got to do the hard work. And it's not real. I don't really think it's come out of a committee. The hard work of cutting it, saying, well, we're cutting this, we're cutting that, because the general manager and the business manager haven't been positive enough to come in and saying, well, we're going to go from 22 phones to 5 phones. I'm getting rid of all of the cell phones, I'm turning the lights out or during the day, renting the building out to somebody who's making masks for COVID-19 or something. It's going to be hard news. It's going to be a hard thing. Otherwise, we're going to go building up debt and, you know, waiting for Mr. Gottbucks to arrive with a lot of cash. I hope he does, but, you know, I don't see it.
John, so, in the queue?
That's all. I'm just making comments. I think I'm just making comments, but I think it would be responsible enough for us to present something to the LSB and say, we've got three options here in terms of chopping up the budget that was presented us for the general manager. So, like, just three options, A, B, C. And which one does the LSB want to go with? And then we'll turn that budget into the NFC.
John in the queue.
This is Grace.
Okay, thank you.
Brad.
John.
Brad here.
Correct.
Michael
Novick is next.
To go back to the part of the conversation we're having with Grace, Kim, you're the person who, more than anyone else, has pointed out that the, in a sense, the list of support that has stayed level is inaccurate because it doesn't take into account the fact that there's been an increase in fund drive days. So
Right.
Increasing number of fund drive days and the reduction in daily income from the fund drives are reciprocal realities. The more days you have, the less money you make per day because you burn your listeners out. So we've been living not within our means for a long time, and some of it is exchange expenses, but most of it, as Ken said, is payroll. I think that, in terms of what Barry is saying, the budget has to be cut so that anticipated, historically provable anticipated revenues are not exceeded by our expenses. And I think the places to cut are some of the things that have been pointed out that might be unnecessary in terms of the likelihood of any return on them. So, for example, that's community events. There's no point in spending money on community events when you lose money on community events. Beyond that, I think we have to cut from management. I think that's the first cut that has to be made, is we have to reduce either the pay or the number of management positions or both. We need to eliminate all the consultancies and similar non-regular staff expenses. And then you look at, what are the absolutely essential cuts that can be made in the rest of the payroll that, will do the least harm to the station. So the manager then has to do that and come up with, the two sides of the equation. It still hasn't happened. I think that that's still got to be forthcoming from someone in management along the lines of what Ken suggested. So, but I do think that we should prioritize in that order, eliminating, non-essential expenses for non-personnel matters, trimming the management and administrative expenses the maximum amount possible, and then beginning to look at payroll reductions beyond the question of consultants and whatever they use some other term also for it. Travel, I think, needs to be cut. The phone service, that is providing phones for staff members needs to be cut. And then we'll see if we can live within our means. Last year, we were bailed out by the bequest this year. We were bailed out by the PPP money, but we're not, our operating expenses are exceeding our operating income, and it's unsupportable. So, the PNB has a proposal fairly similar to what the LSB then adopted here, and the management has to come up with a budget within those parameters. It's not that mysterious.
Red for the stack.
This is Dave. And Dave.
I just want to say, Michael, I'm not unmindful of the increased fund drive days. I've said that to death. I just mentioned that the numbers were similar to last year to this, so saying, our listener support has declined by blah, 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 is false because, there's this new, nobody's really including the website income, which is listener support and has always just been in line one. I was just making, I was just comparing apples to apples. And the fund drive days, I've been talking about for 10 years. Okay,
That's fire.
Bread.
Yeah.
Bread.
Okay. I heard Dave. Dave hasn't spoken yet, so I'm going to put him first. Then I have Wanger, okay. Fred, and Grace.
I just wanted to put,
add
a little something to what Ken said.
Wait. Fred, I said Dave is next on the stack.
Yes.
And then John is.
Right. And then Fred.
I just wanted to, this is Dave, I just wanted to reiterate a little bit about what Michael Novick said, and I wanted to express kind of an amazement that management doesn't seem to get the idea that if expenses have ballooned past our revenue, then we need to cut expenses. And if they've overspent in the last 2 years, which they clearly have, this general manager has never paid any attention to a budget. Of course, Alan doesn't think you need to. And we've just spent money, more money than what we had coming in. Even if the revenue had remained steady, we are spending more money than what the revenue coming in can afford it. Now, we should have modified our behavior and made changes back in January, but we didn't. We should have modified our behavior and made changes back in March, April, and May, but we didn't. And so now we're faced at a point where the only real expense that would have the greatest impact if we were able to cut expenses is on the payroll. This is something Michael Novick has been saying all along. And, I mean, it wouldn't take a lot of imagination to understand that you'd have to talk to SAG-AFTRA and put maybe some of the SAG-AFTRA people on, 50% hours and 50% pay. Also management. Maybe we can't afford a full-time professional program director. Maybe we can't afford a full-time general manager. Maybe these people need to be put on part-time. Maybe we need to turn the transmitter off at midnight and not turn it back on until 5:30 for the 6 o'clock show in the morning. And that would eliminate a payroll and an expense bill from the power. And our programmer that's in overnight, he could shift to 10 o'clock at night, and then he could be there till midnight or 12:30 and then say goodnight and turn off the machine and lock up the building. That we could do a lot of different things. On the call service, we're paying to have a call service where we know that the station during COVID has had the receptionist handling all the phone calls from home. Well, that means that we could easily put together a core group of dedicated volunteers, much like the people on this committee, that would volunteer time to answer KPFK fund drive phone calls from their house. The technology is there. It's pretty straightforward. But the problem we have here is that we haven't had any kind of innovative ideas proposed by this current management. All they want to do is just hope that a big bequest falls on their lap like what's happened in the past. I mean, it's management by the seat of the pants in the worst kind of way. And so I just wanted to reiterate a little bit about what Kim said. I mean, the revenue hasn't been too bad, but our expenses have ballooned. And at this point, since we've waited too long before we've made any changes, we need to unfortunately make some pretty radical changes at this point, and we need to do it as soon as possible. And I mean, like, right now, today, tomorrow. And the other thing is I wouldn't have this general manager negotiate with the union by himself under any circumstances whatsoever. He doesn't seem to understand that his interests are in the radio station in Pacifica, and I'm afraid, and I hate to say it so cruelly and so harshly, but he has to step back and be separated from the staff, and he's going to have to make some very tough decisions. And if he's not willing to do that and to act in a truly management role, then I'm afraid he maybe needs to find a different occupation or work someplace else or have a different job at the station. Anyway, so that's all I have to say. Thank you.
I'm
okay,
ready.
Wenger's next. Go ahead.
A couple of things. First, I agree almost entirely with the last three speakers. I certainly agree strongly with Ken and strongly with Michael and almost entirely with Dave as well. It's clear that Aniel has not done what we've asked him to do and what the LSV has asked him to do and the PNB has asked him to do, and that's to produce a budget with a 30% decrease in expenses. And so I think it's probably going to come to you, Kim, if you're willing to take this mission impossible, or maybe the committee today. I think doing it today is a good idea, as Dave suggested. But I think we need to produce a couple of options. We, meaning either just you, Kim, or the committee, or some combination. We need to do what was asked for. We need to take as input on Yale's budget, which we now have received today from Barry. It should have come last night to all of us directly. But we have it now, and we have to look at it and say, well, does it reduce the 30% of expenses that's been required by the PNB? If it doesn't, then we just cut the expenses. And I agree, Kim, you cannot cut the utilities at the tower because they're not going to go down. It's either or. Either you pay or else you're in default. And so we have to cut what you can cut, and that is salaries, and probably we should cut a lot of management. And I also agree with the concept because we volunteered, or people said we need to talk to the SAG people there, and you'll say, no, that's my job, butt out. Okay, fine, but he didn't do it, and today is the day we have to make this 30% cut. And then we look at that and we say, now is the budget balance, given the best information we have in right now. We don't have the donation income, sustainer income, but that's okay. As of today, we cut the expenses 30%, and then we see if it's balanced. If it's not balanced, then we go to another option and keep cutting until it is balanced. And submit and produce those two, send them back to Aniel, and Barry, of course, will have it immediately, and also prepare to give these two options to the LSB. And I'm open to other options, but I think we need to do at least these two things. And I'm done now, I think. Hello?
Fred's next.
Thank you, finally. Yes, I agree with what Dave said and what Ken said. And the reality is we've been living beyond our means. We are not living within our income levels. And what I wanted to point out to Ken and everybody else, piece of reality, we are $220,000 in debt on our this year's central service payments. So we've only paid, I think, 200 and something. I'd have to look at the chart. But there's only, so we probably paid $280,000 of the $500,000 that we owe. So things are actually worse. I'll leave it at that.
All right, Grace is next.
Okay. I agree with much of what's been said, most of it. What would be very helpful is to have a list of all of the non-payroll expenses that can be cut, how much, what can be cut, how much it can be cut, and what the dollar figure savings would be, so we can figure out what percentage of a total reduction that would be. So, for instance, yes, we know that community events obviously are not bringing in any income, so that expense should be cut. There may be a possibility of cutting some of the premium expenses, except I think that may be not the place to cut. If we are premium, if we're getting a significant portion of our income, which I believe may be between 35% and 50% from premiums, cutting premiums would not necessarily be a good idea. But that is but there are other places where expenses related to community sponsorships. Obviously, there aren't community events happening, and any expenses related to that, it's a project that's been running at a loss at any rate, from what I can tell. It takes significant staff time to do to create and administrate those community sponsorships. So those expenses should be cut, whatever they may be. And anyway, an itemized list of every possible expense cuts that's not payroll would be very, very helpful if anyone here has done that. And then, unfortunately, this committee cannot work on the payroll side of the expense cuts, and that will have to be done by annual and senior management in coordination with the union. And that's what's going to have to be done.
Grace, all you need to do is look at the budget and you can kind of tell which might be cut. I mean, we've gone over this about four times already. We're pretty bare bones. I suspect, your ratings is going to get cut. Okay, because that's about $16,000 a year. Community events expense, as you can see in the budget, is $5,000. There's not a lot in there that's going to make a difference. There are a few things, yeah, paying staff loans, we've suggested should stop. Consultants should stop, maybe $20,000 there. You know, this is not the problem, Grace. It's a bigger problem than that. But you don't, I mean, it's itemized
in
the budget.
That, but
it's itemized in the budget. I'm not going to make a list, you know, a special list. It's all in the budget. We've gone over this 100 times. You have my notes. You have everything. So that's not, you know, the premiums are down way below what I think probably reality, but, you know, it is what it is. You know.
Steve to the stack. Ken?
Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think, I'm not sure about this, but I think it may be a little bit too easy to spend money. But what they need there is two signatures of the four managers. And I think that's Terry Guy, Maggie LaPique, Christine Blasdale, and Annielle Fields. And they need two of those signatures on a given check. Maybe there's a way to constrict the ease with which something is spent. And I concur with the other suggestions there. You know, I think it's clear we have to do something to cut payroll where the money's gone. Even going to Leslie Radford's rather draconian standards of a few years ago. And then another quick thought is that we're not really spending time looking at revenue enhancement. And I know it's a bleak landscape for that, but perhaps we could contact some are well, better known, well-heeled contributors in the past, and ask them for suggestions of other people that we might be able to talk to. And I'm thinking like Bobby Krieger and Jackson Brown and Ed Asner and Ed Begley Jr. and all these people that have been in the periphery, Lily Tomlin, who have been around there, and ask them if they can suggest some others that they may approach to solicit funds. I think we got to do something to really make an attempt on revenue enhancement because, you know, when we cut down to the bare bone, you know, it's just bone marrow after that, and there's just only so much you can cut without really jeopardizing the corpus of the entity. So those things, constrict spending and look at revenue enhancement again. That's it.
Steve, as I've said multiple times, that's for another committee. That's not what we do here, okay? That's other committees, that's management, whatever. It's not what we do here. Obviously, revenue enhancement is a good idea. You know, we don't do that here. And, you know, in order to attract...
Expense cuts?
Pardon me?
We look
at numbers. We look at numbers. Okay, and it's like, oh, your revenue is under, you know, your expenses are over. This is what we analyze and write reports on. It's for other committees and management to do something about it. As you know, there are other committees to do that, Steve. You know,
And one thing I've noted in the 5 years I've been a part of this community is that the committee seemed to be really dysfunctional. Now, I'm not going around to a lot of them, but there's a fundraising committee. I think Bella is on that. And I went to one meeting and nobody showed up.
Okay. I understand that other committees are non-functional. That is not our purview here. I am trying to make this committee functional at doing what we're supposed to do, which is dealing with the numbers and presently trying to get some kind of a budget, you know, realistic numbers for the budget. We all realize that it would be great if we could raise our revenue, but none of us see that happening in the next, you know, 6 months. Approach donors and fund foundations and grants and all that. You need better financials than we have. You know, you have two audits that say, the auditor said, well, we can't audit your organization because the books are too much of a mess. You know, doesn't make people who want to give you money very happy. We don't have a budget yet. You know, I mean, this has been a long time coming, but here we are. The bottom of the
John in the
fire.
Queue.
I think we've been making some headway into getting financials that are respectable.
Right. We're not there yet. We're not there yet.
John in the queue?
Go ahead, Wenger.
I just wanted to correct something that Grace said, that we couldn't look at the salary. Well, if she means we, the entire community, she's right. But there's like six people that have some interest in this that do have access. For example, the treasurer has access to salary. Maybe that's been changed, but when I was treasurer, I had access to the salary. The complete numbers, the exact numbers, no approximations. The four PNB directors, through their inspection rights, have direct access to the salary information. And the interim PNB, I don't know if Lydia is a member of the LSB or not, or of the PNB, but as IED, she's certainly a member of the KPFK community. She surely has access to the salary stuff. So there's six people, or six roles at least. And not only that, the information can be made available plus or minus the $3,000 within the $3,000 interval to all the members of the LSB. So, frankly, what Grace said is wrong. These people can get involved, and some of these people are actually members of the Finance Committee. So it can be done. We need to do it, and the station is dying. And I know we're supposed to wait for Annual to do it, but if we wait for Annual to do it, maybe the station will die before it happens. So I'm back to my suggestion. Let's get these numbers in and get the 30% reduction done and see if it's balanced. If not, we collectively, the people who can get access to the numbers, do it. We don't need to know the names of the people. We just need to know how much the salary has been reduced in order to make the appropriate cuts to hit 30% and balanced. Two things. Done.
This is Grace for the stack.
Go ahead, Grace.
What John said is absolutely true, and there is has been PNB oversight and National Finance Committee oversight to some extent, and these cuts must be made, expense reductions must be made, and it is the intention of most of the KPFK board members, PNB directors, to ensure that this is done, and I believe the rest of the national board is also in agreement with that. So this has to be done however it gets done. We can't, there's no money around anywhere to bail out KPFK or to pay or to sustain any significant amount of time with KPFK not paying central services. So it's necessary to get KPFK going in the right direction financially. And we don't have the option of declaring bankruptcy either, because there are bankruptcy clauses. There's a bankruptcy clause in the loan. So if the foundation declared bankruptcy, what would happen is the lender would be forced to foreclose probably on all of our buildings. But there's a good likelihood that we would forfeit KPFK, because it's KPFK that has a building and that is showing a lack of income to sustain its own expenses. So that's the unfortunate reality. We've got to get the KPFK budget in line, and there is every intention on the part of the National Finance Committee and the National Board to ensure that other stations that don't have balanced budgets also get their budgets in balance. However, the fact that KPFK's income is so much greater means that an unbalanced KPFK budget has a more significant negative effect on the overall finances of Pacifica than the other stations. And we cannot just, there are legal bills that have to be paid on an ongoing basis. NETA has to be paid on an ongoing basis. The auditor has to be paid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There are administrative costs, and this foundation cannot sustain a long period of KPFK not being able to make its payroll, possibly, as pay its expenses or pay its central services. So expense cuts will mainly, as we all acknowledge here, are going to need to be made on the payroll side of the ledger. And, yes, it will be done by management with the oversight, support, push, whatever is needed from national board members and the National Finance Committee.
The PNB has had multiple closed sessions for I don't know how long playing their trying to make the cuts to the staff. So that's where that's being handled. They don't apparently care about the rest of the budget, but that's what the PNB has been meeting in closed session for a number of weeks.
And
so,
how would
you know
that?
Sort of,
and how would you know that, Kim?
Gee, I don't know, Grace. You know, I don't know.
Because that's not necessarily true.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
If you have private information, where are you getting it from?
Yeah, Grace, that's all you care about. Where am I getting my information from?
Don't tell me
anyways,
what I care about. I'm saying you just said something which is really not true. So,
uh-huh. Okay.
But what I said was true.
Thank you.
PNB does have the intention to ensure that there is a balanced budget at KPFK and that there are significant expense cuts.
Okay, well, here's something you can suggest, Grace, is to get Lydia to make her budget, because I believe that, as Ken said, we're going to have to ask for lower central services, okay? That's going to have to be part of this, okay? So, you know, there's a lot in this mix here.
John and Nikki?
Go ahead.
So thank you, Grace, for that elaboration. I appreciate that. And a quick comment about Lydia making the budget. The fact is, when Lydia calculates the central services, she's going to look at the budget of KPFK in order to calculate our share of the central services. If we do the layoffs that Grace just told us about, that the PNB is working out, that will reduce... that will change our budget and our profitability, et cetera, et cetera. And so that information will be needed before Lydia can make her budget for the national office. The whole thing is iterative. So I just want to make that elaboration. But I think both these things need to be done. Lydia should do the best she has, given the budget she has, and then the PNB will make those changes, and then the budget will change, and Lydia will make another budget with a recalculation of the central services. I'm done.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way it works. I think, you know, people need to know what the national office needs, not just what they want, because that hasn't been done for a number of years. And I'm not the only one that thinks that, you know, a decrease is going to have to be considered. But we don't know what the national office needs. And that's what's first. Anyways, look, we're going
this
around
committee.
In circles. We're just, you know, Ken, what would your suggestions for what we should do? I mean, you know, I want to get out of here.
Let's say we work as individuals or small teams. You know, without anything official. And we'll come up and then raise our hands at the LSB meeting. And let's say it's me and three other people, or say, well, I got three options for us. Here's a budget that came from the general manager, and we recommend the following, A, B, C, D. And it's going to put us, the final result of each option will be this. And, you know, make a presentation or something like that and get the LSB to agree on something that we can then forward to the PNB. So whether or not Alan Beek's budget is appropriate or unrealistic or whatever, it's a finished product. I haven't really looked at it and evaluated it, but I guess Kim has. But in any event, Okay, great. So it's just, I agree with John, and I think there's other people here who have the same viewpoint. I don't really care about the protocol that's written in the bylaws. If you're talking about the existence of the organization, I don't want to get into a long speech, but it's like analogous to somebody lying on the ground and he needs CPR because he stopped breathing. You know, well, wait a second, I don't have the proper CPR machine and he needs to have a pillow under his head. You deal with what you have to deal with. So, yes, there's a protocol and a path for the appropriate approval of budgets laid out in the bylaws. It hasn't worked. We have to go and do a pirate version, and we have to come up with a budget and throw it up to the NFC. And I'll tell you the truth, say the NFC is out to lunch and the PNB of the national office is out to lunch. You still got a station. You have to run the station. You need a budget to do it. You can't have the general manager deciding to change the curtains because he thinks we need to change the curtains. We need to make a budget that is maintained and run by the general manager. Regardless of what's supposed to happen, this is what we should make happen. And we could do it at the LSB, at the LSB level. And that's all. I think it's very negligent for a member of the board to pedantically say, we're not allowed to do that. I can't save this person because I don't have the right pillow to put under his head or whatever it is. You know, you may have to amputate some legs. You may have to do whatever you have to do to keep the person alive. And the same obligation goes to the maintenance of the station. Maintenance of the station. There was one of the members of this committee. I don't want to pin it on him. But he said he made a very good point. Everything comes up on the table. You put everything on the table. And you don't say, oh, no, I don't like that, and I don't like that, and I don't like that. First, you put everything on the table. And you take the most pragmatic solution available. You know, you do whatever you have to do. If we have to go in and take over doing the radio programs and being the general manager, then that's what we have to do. You have to do what you have to do. And everything goes on the table, everything. Nothing should be kept off the table. That's all. So I think, you know, and in our own... You know, I'll get together with, you know, let's say John Wanger and Fred, and we'll see what we can version come up with and so forth. And maybe it'll be a futile effort, but it's not going to be that painful. It's just numbers on a page. So a little bit of theology here, so I got to turn on. Okay, but that's all I was trying to say. And then we present that at the next LSB meeting. You know, I don't want to keep pounding on Angel. You know, he's negligent. We are trying to do his job. I don't like that. I don't like when, you know, he's getting paid to do a job and it's falling on our plates. We're not battling what he's presenting. He's just not presenting anything. You know, he's not presenting a solution. He's going like, well, I don't know what to do. There you go. $800,000 in the red. That's the best I can offer. That's it. I'm done talking. Thank you.
Are you suggesting that that you make personnel cuts, Ken?
Well, I would confer with, let's say I get together after this call and talk with John and Fred and Steve or whatever, and we do whatever. And I'm making this, you know, I would suggest personnel cuts. You know, I like, you know, maybe they have to go back to all volunteer radio with patchwork, quilted crazy programs about, you know, and cut out this semi-professional thing we have going with the strip programming. Whatever we come up with, we come up with. But we're not doing anybody favors keeping them employed and then going out of business. That's not helping anybody. And, you know, and well, I don't want to get into my opinions about the value of what work we're getting out of our staff, but it's like I say, every option has to be on the table. Every option has to be on the table.
I agree, Kim.
You can't just say, no, I can't do that. That's outrageous. So, let's try to come up with something, and let's see whatever else somebody comes up with. And, Kim, if you could work with somebody who's on the LSB, and so it gets presented by an LSB member to the LSB, whatever program or budget you come up with, forget about what's supposed to happen or didn't happen, and too bad it didn't happen, and so forth. What's the budget starting from this? There was a new epidemic, and it killed half the people on staff and half the people on the LSB. Come up with a budget now. Start. You know, there's nobody to go to and nobody to lean on and nobody to blame. Just come up with a budget. And I know I'm just saying that's what Alan Beek did, so I consider that appropriate. He's not that he's trying to overload or go past an existing working facility or proper thing that's going on. He's saying that this is silly. The ship is sinking. And nobody wants to lower the lifeboats, or nobody wants to even take a look and see how far away are we from land. So, you know, he came up with a budget. It's probably not bad. I'll have to look at it. But and we can't even say, I don't know, because that's just part of the situation. We don't know, and we'll never find out. We still have to come up with a budget. I'm proposing that I'll work out something, and just as an LSB member, regardless of this committee or whatever, I'll work with some other people, and we'll try to come up with a budget.
Well, Ken, have we not left everything on the table? Is there things that have been excluded so far from the table? You insinuate that we haven't looked at some things.
Of course, there's things that have left off the table. You know, I could think of the, just think of the most outlandish thing. The most outlandish things would be corporate underwriting or going partners with a college or here's a good one. Broadcasting Alex Jones or Milo Sinopoulos, whatever his name is, or just whatever. Don't take off the table. Put on the table. Say, well, no, we're not going to do that now. You know, so forth and so on. And, telling programmers, oh, you're going to have to do this all yourself. You're going to have to do all the technology. Send us a tape and we'll broadcast it. You can't afford to pay for a board op to manage your phone calls live when you're doing the interview. You'll have to figure that out yourself. I've done interviews just using Zoom and recording it and so forth. And, then they can send the recording in and it can be responsible for the best quality sound they can get and so forth. I just don't take it off the table. Or we could be broadcasting the Trotters. Now, I remember an AM radio. You used to listen to the Trotters is, forget that the town that's near Covina or Pomona, where they have horse racing with little carriages. They call it the Trotters because the horses are only allowed to trot. You pronounce, broadcast that. We'll see if we get an audience, Or try to play. Here's a very obvious thing that we're not doing is try to negotiate playing popular podcasts that are broadcast elsewhere, see if we can get them for free or low cost. We already know people want to listen to.
All right, Ken.
No, I'm just saying, you put it on the table. You can look at the history of Pacifica. We used to have lots of organizations that would put on shows. Like we still have Common Cause with Ralph Nader, but we used to have a lot more shows like that. I don't think we have a Sierra Club show or a National Lawyers Guild. We do have one. We have the National Lawyers Guild, but I don't think we have Positions for Social Responsibility, or, we don't have a Black Lives Matter program, if there is such an organization.
Okay. All right, Ken. Okay.
So, the whole thing, let me just say it one more time. You don't take anything off the table. You put it on the table, you take a look, then you say, okay, well, let's agree on what we're going to do.
Okay.
Personally, I think Fred and Steve Kaiser and John Wenger. It's got to be a grumpy old man, otherwise I can't work.
Okay.
So those four probably the best.
Okay, well, look, I think this is way out of the purview of the Finance Committee. You can do whatever you want. I certainly am not going to condone it from this committee. I mean, you know, you can do whatever you want. But, yeah, this is not anything that I would have anything to do with. My opinion is that we don't have a budget. We're not even hearing from management. I mean, Barry's here. He has, you know, nothing to say. The GM isn't on here. The PMB is doing their own thing. I just say we leave it and, you know, see what happens by, you know, we don't have a budget. You know, we send it. I mean, we can send it to the NFC. The expenses are more or less. We can nick a few things off, take off the ratings, take off, you know. I haven't even seen if there's still money that they want to spend on consultants. Obviously, that would be a zero. you know, but that's, you know, maybe $20,000. Not going to change much. But otherwise, there's, you know, the listener support doesn't make sense to me. You know, Michael Novick and I can probably come up with something that we think at least makes sense. But other than that, we can't go any further.
John in the queue.
Okay, just one last thing I have to add. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to intentionally exclude Mike Novick, but he's, you know, he's a grumpy old guy too. But I just want to make one fast statement. I have a fireplace in my house, and last December 25th, I sat there all night, never closed my eyes, and Santa Claus did not come down the chimney. So I don't want to just sit and wait.
Did you blink, Ken? Maybe you got in there in a blink.